God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Okay, welcome to this meeting of Sexaholics Anonymous. This is a closed meeting. Only conference attendees registered as sexaholics may attend this meeting. SA is an anonymous program. Many of us carry mobile devices capable of audio and visual recording to maximize our commitment to anonymity. We cannot allow any use of these devices for recording anything inside this conference. Please remember that this is a recorded meeting. Anything said here will be shared with other SA members in the fellowship, and in doing so, many end up shared on the internet as a whole. Anyone speaking can choose to use a pseudonym or to share with someone after the meeting if they do not want to be recorded. This is a topic meeting. The topic for this meeting is how it works. I have asked a volunteer to share an opening reading of this topic.
James Sexaholic.
James.
How it works, from the White Book, page 77. Everything begins with sobriety. Without sobriety, there is no program of recovery. But without reversing the deadly traits that underlie our addiction, there is no positive and lasting sobriety. To recover from a life based on wrong attitudes, self-obsession, separation, false connections, blindness, and spiritual death requires a program of action that includes a fundamental change in attitude, character change, union, the true connection, self-awareness, and spiritual life. Working the principles of the steps as a new way of living has made this happen for us. No matter how well they are explained, understood, or believed, however, the steps mean nothing unless they are actually worked out in our thinking and living. The steps don't work unless we work them. From the Big Book, pages 62 to 63. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that, we think, is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows, and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that, at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we sexaholics, must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all-powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. We were now at step three. Many of us said to our Maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him.
For the next few minutes, I will share my experience, strength, and hope as it relates to the topic. And it says I'm supposed to have a co-leader, which I don't. So after my share, then I will be open to sharing. So my name is John. I'm a recovering sexaholic. And I know where it talks about, I thought this was actually be from Chapter 5 of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a different topic, though. But what it was making me think about as James was reading that was that, you know, I have to fully concede to my own addiction in all forms. Just like I was sharing with another member over the phone the other day, I was actually this morning, I sponsor a guy, and he's from, I'm tired right now, he's from an African nation, but he's currently living in Saudi Arabia. Sudan, that's where he's from, Sudan. Excuse me, I knew it would come. But he just told me that he felt ashamed to call me because he just finished acting out. And I pointed him to the back of the white book, How I Overcame My Obsession with Lust, starting at page 157. And then after that, starting at 158, is the 18, what we call the 18-wheeler, the 18 points of. And I said, one of the things you have to do in here, and I have to do it myself, because when I'm talking to him, I'm talking to myself, is I have to give up lust in all forms, everything, videos, music, all every little area. For me, it was, I guess I'm a double winner because I started attending Alcoholics Anonymous this year because I realized I had a problem in that area. I thought I could drink like a gentleman, and I could not because I was telling others the same story all the time. Well, I was drinking a few too many old fashions or martinis, and now all of a sudden I'm uninstalling my filters on my computer. Then all of a sudden I'm looking at porn, and it wouldn't be for an hour, like for 5 minutes, like a peak. It was like for 5 hours or a couple hours. And I said, but then I had the audacity to say I'd go to a meeting chair. Well, I looked at stuff, but I didn't act out with myself, which is such bullshit. You know, I don't know if I could say that, but I'll say it just. It was my stupidity. And so I had to fully concede that not only am I an alcoholic, but I'm also a raging sexaholic too. And I cannot have this in any way, shape, or form in my life because it was killing me. Because this spills into every area of my life, my relationships with family, my work, my performance at work, how I treat others. Negative attitudes toward people, places, things, and situations. I could be minding my own business and have all these old resentments running in my head. But as I get sober in both programs again, I start praying, God, let me just surrender these thoughts to you. Because it could be anything. It just could be an old resentment for, like, my younger brother and I don't get along. And so I just have to surrender. Anytime an old memory comes up, I got to surrender that to God and just say, God bless him, take care of him, prosper him. I got to pray for myself that I could just say, all right, God, I guess need to give up these scenarios or these thoughts in the back of my head because they're not helping me at all in my recovery. So, but on the positive side, one of the things I do to help me in my recovery each day, I have to surrender my alcoholism, my sexaholism. I have a quiet time of prayer and meditation. One of my old sponsors asked me to do this years ago. He's not even my sponsor anymore, but I still do it. I read parts of the Big Book, page 86, where it says, upon awakening. And then I get on my knees, and I pray the third step prayer. I pray the seventh step prayer. And I feel pretty, and I ask God, put someone in my life today that I could help. Anyone. And this morning, that guy just called me from, my sponsee from Sudan. So, and I got to be of service to him today and help him. And I actually didn't want to do this meeting either. I was tired from work. And I said, I just want to go home. Maybe Bryce could find someone else. But I said, let me just go through, just do it and be of service to everyone. because maybe something I say might help someone, maybe not. So anyway, that's what all I have to do. That's how it works for me and how I want to do this. So, okay, so the media is now open for sharing. So as many as possible can share. Please keep your shares to a time limit of, I don't know, what we got in here. Yeah, about 5 minutes each, 3 to 5 minutes. That works. Okay, and we ask, we don't take the inventories of others. That is, we uncover and work on our own defects, not those of others. We avoid politics, religious dogma, and other divisive issues. We avoid explicit sexual descriptions, sexually disrespectful, abusive language. If someone feels a share is too explicit, they may signify by raising their hand. We do lead with our own weakness and take the risk of total disclosure. Please raise your hand and introduce yourself by first name before sharing. The meeting is now open, and you will share from that.
James Sexaholic.
James.
Yeah, you know, it's a good reading. How it works involves just wanting and having that willingness and to, you know, have sexual sobriety and to stop lusting. First step first, first things first, right? And in order to do that, it's being full on in recovery every day. You know, on first coming into the program, I was trying to fit recovery into my busy schedule and oftentimes found that I wouldn't have time to read my white book, do my step work that my sponsor was suggesting to me, and attending meetings. And of course, that being, you know, less than half measures, that was availing me nothing. I was not achieving sobriety. I was not gaining a connection to my higher power, and my recovery was basically stagnant. I wasn't going anywhere. I was, you know, in a stream without any paddles. I was basically just kind of sitting around, letting the current take me right off the waterfall. And so that had to change. I realized that after my latest reset, that my lust wasn't doing anything for me either. It just brought me down to a new low in sense of depression and despair and just utter frustration with myself. And I made that decision to, you know, have God guide me for that day and say, okay, God, this isn't working. I'm going to get out of your way. Please help me. And that's basically the prayer I said. I just said, God, I just need your help for today. Help me get me through this one day. And he did. I had moved my family out of a house in Irvine. So I was sitting in a basically empty townhouse and with whatever my ex-wife had left me and feeling pretty crappy. And I was sitting on the couch saying that prayer and trying to figure out, okay, I've got to move all my stuff to this house in Long Beach. And okay, I'll work on that. And so I got a mover, and they originally quoted me a time, you know, in the later afternoon. And I was bummed because that would have been my time to go to the Irvine meeting. It would have put the move right on that. And there I was a little down about that. But I, you know, as Harvey A says, you know, you don't have to act out even if your ass falls off. And I stuck with it, and I got a call back, and the mover said, hey, we got a time slot that opened up. Are you available at noon? And I was like, yeah. And I'm glad I didn't spend the morning acting out. Instead, I was packing. And I was like, of course, yeah, I'm totally ready. Yeah, send them my way. I'll be all set. And these guys were great. They were on it. They got me moved out and moved into my new place in like 2 hours, record time. And there I was. I was set. I was like, wow. I looked at the time. I was like, perfect. I can go meet the guys for fellowship before the Irvine meeting. And this was the first time I had gone back to the meeting in months. And I went to that meeting, and it was great to be back. Like, I felt, you know, I was on the right path again. I was on my recovery journey, and things opened up from there. I got a new sponsor. I approached my current sponsor at that meeting, and I said, hey, I relapsed last night. I'm in this stage of life, you know, I've just moved, and I'm wondering if you want to be my sponsor. And he's like, you should talk to your old sponsor first and then come back. And I said, all right. I called my old sponsor the next day, and he actually brought it up. He's like, you've been going through some stuff, man. I recommend. And he was out of state. He was an out of state sponsor that I had picked up just on a Zoom meeting. And he's like, honestly, with all the stuff you're going through, I think you should get a sponsor that's local to SoCal. And before I even said anything, and I was like, funny you should say that. I was just thinking I needed that. He's like, you should go do that. He's like, it's been great working with you, but for now, I think, you know, you should work with someone that you can meet in person. And from there, it took off. Like, I just felt that need to hit meetings. Like, I think the very next day, that evening after I got my new sponsor, I hit the Long Beach meeting Friday night, then the Hermosa meeting, and then at the Hermosa meeting, a couple guys came up to me and said, you can carpool us with us to the Pasadena meeting. And like all these connections. And I was like, okay, I'm back on the path here, and I don't want to get off because I know where that goes, and I don't want to end up there ever again. And that's how it worked for me. Just, you know, showing up, going to meetings, talking to people, sharing what I'm going through. And then other people step in and they serve, and it's just beautiful. And so that's the path I'm on now, and I want to stay on it. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, James. Hello, Omar, sexaholic.
Omar.
Hello. I, on the beginning of my journey in SA, it began it's about almost a year and some months now, but the amount of work that I put in is like only a couple of weeks. I don't work this program very thoroughly, other than the, you know, fellow brothers that do, you know, I feel like they do a lot better than I could, but my sponsor has told me that no one in this program can ever work it perfectly. There's not one program or someone that's worked it perfectly. I, to be transparent with you all, I did act out last night, you know, just to expose that and make myself known to the weakness, bring myself to weakness so that I am present in front of God in that state and being weak. I think that's what step zero is all about, just acknowledging that you're weak and you cannot do it on your own. Then I met my sponsor, David. He's currently working with me to give up my step one soon, working on my narrative. And then, you know, while working on my narrative was getting good, I'm comparing it to the white book to make comparisons and connect my experiences to the white book to acknowledge where I'm at in my journey. It doesn't matter if I put in the work matters, but I just want to know where I'm at in this whole program, if that makes sense. I'm about to give up my step one very soon, but I still need to write down my narrative. But I don't think I'll ever work this program very thoroughly. Maybe I'll get to step 12 someday, but that's going to be a journey, but I think that's what matters is the journey along with God and my sponsor and my acknowledgments in my faults. Working this program, acknowledging my faults has been a big thing for me. In my past relationship, I never knew that I was the main issue in that relationship. I was the main cause for our breakup. I objectified so much my past relationship, thinking that it was all her. She was not... I was very, very demanding of her, but I never saw that. This program has made me realize that, man, I have done a lot of wrong and acknowledged even more things that that I never knew that I could see. An example would be how... I can't really think of an example right now, but a lot of acknowledgement in my faults and holding myself accountable. This program has definitely taught me a lot of accountability. I acknowledged a lot of my trust in myself being my own God, not being able to surrender. I still trust in the intrusive thoughts in my head rather than the reality of things. I still act out. Yesterday I was going on 4 days of sobriety without pornography. I haven't acted out sexually with any other person, but it's just been pornography and masturbation. But that's no different than acting out with somebody. In my past, I was very lonely and was looking for sex to fill in that void of emptiness. And I just worked so hard in a business in the hospitality industry, in the restaurant business. I've worked about over 10 years of my life, missing out in social events, missing out in time with myself, family. And I spent so much on lust. It made all that hard work for the past 10 years to be for nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's like I worked for free. I've suffered so much in the industry that I'm still currently in. Yeah, and now I'm catching up, actually. I'm now paying myself back. I am working hard on myself and trying to work hard on this program too, but I'm still vulnerable to lust. And I think I heard it today in the first meeting where lust is powerful. It can never leave you. It can never... But in the meeting downstairs not too long ago, lust is waiting for me out the door, I think Chad said. And I agree. I totally agree. Once we walk out this hotel, it's going to be right there with all of us. But it is God's job to discern that for us and for us to surrender and to give it to him. I wish I could do that as well as I need to. I cannot. I'm still very weak in that, but you know, with fellowship and with God, of course, who's still allowing me to be here in this very room with, you know, fellow brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, you know, I get to still experience that. So, yeah, I'm grateful to be here, and thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Lustaholic. And I don't have too much time in this program. I'm in two other programs, NA and Alcoholics Anonymous, and now I'm in SA, you know. It's like they say, if you don't have three, you know, three's a charm, right? So I should be a winner now, you know. But I'm still trying to get this. You know what? I'm the type of guy that I'll do the bare minimum. You know, as long as I can get it, I'll do as less as I can. And as soon as I get it, I'm good, you know. I don't go over and beyond. I don't know why, but, You know, it's like the, and I hear the more you do, the more you get out of it, you know? But I struggle. I'm like, man, why can't I get this one? You know, why can't I get this SA program? And it's like everything else takes, it takes time. You know, I want it fast, just like everything else. You know, we want it fast, and it's not happening. And I just got to be patient and trust in God. You know, just like everything else. You know, I think I can pull, you know, I just heard that speaker earlier saying that he had receipts in his trunk of his car. And I'm like, man, I'm slicker than that guy. I throw my receipts away, you know. You know, and I think I'm smarter than, you know, just than anybody else, because I won't keep any evidence. You know, I'm never going to get caught, you know. And I haven't got caught today, but, you know, I can lie to my wife. I can lie to my friends, my mother. I can lie to myself, and I'll believe my own lies. But there's one I can't lie to, and I can't lie to God. You know, if I'm lusting, and I'll take off my chain, you know, because I know, you know, God knows, you know. And I'll, if there's a cross on, I'll take the cross down and everything, because I'm hiding from Him, you know. And because I believe in that higher power, you know. And the disease in the is—it's not outside the door. It's in my head. It's right in between my ears, you know. Everywhere I go, there it is. It's right there with me. And I belong to the Long Beach group, and some of these guys are there. And man, I like it. I love it, just like my other programs. And I'm proud to be part of it. And I got a sponsor, and I'm working with him, and he encourages me, you know. Something I didn't get as a kid, encouragement, you know. Nobody ever told me, hey, man, you're doing a good job, you know, keep it up, you know. It was always pushdowns, you know. And I'm getting this in my programs, you know. It's nice to hear saying, you're doing a good job, keep at it, you know. You'll get it, you know. And what else? Man, I've been married 30 years, you know. God's looking out for me. I got 5 kids, and I still got that job for over 30 years, and God's looking out for me, you know. She's told me to get out of the house for other reasons, and I haven't had the guts to move out. And I was like, God, you know, please, you know, I'll do something else, you know. I'll go to the program. Please don't, you know, let me live here, you know. I have nowhere else to go, you know. I believe in the family, and I believe in that I would do whatever it takes to keep the family together. So that's why I'm in the program today, for myself and to keep, you know, keep what I believe in together, you know. I'm glad to be here. You know, I'm just doing that. Normally I don't come to, you know, marathons or, but you know what? I want to get this, so that's what I'm doing here today, you know, at a conference. You know, I don't go to other AA marathons or conferences or anything like that, but man, I really need this, and I really want it, so I'm here today. Yeah, and that's all I got. Thank you.
I'm Rich Lustahawk.
Hey, Rich.
Say that instead of Sexahawk, because I really don't. I have too much problem with sexaholism anymore, simply because God graced me with the gift of ED. So, but if you think that's great, it's not, because it doesn't make lust go away. So I define my sobriety these days by my lust sobriety. And I've gotten up to 2 years sometimes, but other times I get only, well, I'd say on the average, maybe 3 weeks, and I'll have a lust binge, but I don't necessarily do anything about it because it's too much work. Anyway, so that's kind of a gift, but I mean, I have a lot of experience in this whole program. This is probably my 20th Unity Conference, so I don't actually go to meetings because I do online, and then I actually have a men's Bible study I go to, and I actually have a little ministry where I help men that struggle with pornography type things, so, and that's always been the biggest thing. My wife left me over at almost 20 years ago, 18 years ago. And It was tough. I mean, everything was tough back then. Right during the debacle of the 08, 09, I lost everything, and including the wife. So, but I recovered. I mean, I've had like maybe 7 major relationships since then, and all those girls were really great. They're 1-2-year-long relationships, and I told them right up front what my issue was, and they were good with it. And it's a situation there where I can still date and have a normal life, but I still have to be very conscious of the lust end of it. I don't struggle like I used to, because somewhere along the way I learned total serenity and total surrender. I was very good friends with Roy Kay, and he used to stress the total surrender thing, which I finally got the hang of, but it takes us a long, we're hotwired to lust, and it takes a long time to unlearn that. But it can be speedy if you just really depend on your higher power. Mine is Jesus Christ, and that whole surrender thing is really interesting. I mean, the first time it happened to me, I was all set to really act out. I was going to actually burglarize this place so I could act out. And I just said, this is crazy, and I just surrendered totally. And I looked at my thing and found out the closest meeting was, I don't know, pretty far away, but an hour drive or 45-minute drive. And I was on my way to that meeting, and it's the weirdest thing, so I kept praying the whole time, and then I just kicked back and let God do his thing. And anytime I totally surrender, I can time it. It's not more than 5 minutes, and I'll go revisit the lust to see if it has any power over me, and it doesn't, because I totally surrendered it. And that technique has served me for probably 15 years now, and it's worked well as far as that goes. But again, I mean, I binged on lust right before this meeting, probably because of the edginess of coming to the meeting, because I was doing really well for a few weeks. Anyway, but I just surrender that, and I'm fine type of thing. So, but the whole thing that we overlook in this program, and that's what Roy was trying to explain. He had nothing against sex. He really explained true intimacy very well. And a lot of men I meet in SA have never experienced it. And that's where you actually make love with your wife. And there's no lust involved at all. And it's the most incredible climax you could have. And, that's what starts reinforcing, getting back on the right track. And that's kind of what I stress to people. It's the true intimacy end of it. What Jose was talking about of it, I know a lot of alcoholics in the program, 25, 30 years of sobriety on alcohol, but they just can't beat the lust thing and the sexaholic thing, because it's a spiritual addiction. That's what people don't understand. It's not a physical addiction. And so it's sort of like overeaters, same thing. And the poor thing about overeaters is they got to wear it on their sleeve. Man, they're overweight. You know, every one of us should have to wear a prophylactic over our heads so people can say, oh, I know what he is. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Rich.
We have time for one quick share if anyone needs to share real quick. Next week, we have a couple minutes.
Hey, Jonathan, sexaholic. Been sober since March 22nd, 2019. It says we can't really start to recover until we're sober, but then it doesn't last unless we start working the steps. I have to do that. I have to work the steps. I have to see my part. Anytime I'm disturbed about something, I just recently had a work day where I was around people who were better than me and who I just felt inferior around. And then it becomes, that's why I'm not more prosperous. That's why I'm not going to be able to provide the way that I want to. That's why I'm never going to be able to own a home. That's why I'm just worthless. And it's all about me. I'm in the prison of self. And that's what the third step prayer, relieve me of the bondage of self. I'm completely wrapped up in myself. That I have to recognize and take inventory on and surrender so that I don't go to lust again, because that becomes extremely appealing to me when I'm in that shame cycle, when I'm in that, you know, like, oh, woe is me kind of headspace. And I'm also not of use to anybody. I'm not of use to my family if I'm just thinking about how, what a loser I am. And then I can't live like that, and so I have to go medicate it somehow. Yeah, I appreciate the reading and the other shares, and that's how it works. I got to take action after I've admitted how powerless I am, and go to God for all the things that I need help with, which is everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. That was graciously corrected. This meeting ends at 9:15, so we do have a time for a couple more shares. If a couple of you would like to, who haven't had a chance to share, or we could end early. It doesn't matter.
Thanks, sir. Michael, sexaholic.
Michael.
Hello. From the reading, I heard the self-obsession, and then it talked about there's a spiritual solution to that. And that I really resonate with that, because my addiction is all about self-obsession. And but what I'm really looking for is I'm working the steps to try to figure that out too, but part of it is love and respect. Part of my acting out was sending pictures to people. I'm just sitting there realizing that what's the spiritual condition that I have. And it's that, I think that lust is love. And that's why I'm here, to find the real connection with my higher power and with others. I totally resonate with the progressive victory over lust. Right now I'm struggling with the progressive victory over lust. Last night was, there's a lot of lust. And I'm trying to break away from that pattern of lust, and it's been difficult. But I'm reminded meetings today, I have to be honest about it. I have to, in order for me to surrender, I have to surrender to others. So for me, it's lust in the mirror. And so, that's kind of my last thing that I have to surrender, because, that's been an issue. And I know I'm powerless over it. I can't handle it. Asking God, really, like, okay, whatever I'm trying to find in lust, may I find in you. So that's kind of been what I'm doing. So thanks.
Okay, that's all the time we have for sharing. If you did not have a chance to share, please, well, I guess everyone did. Please find someone after the meeting to talk with. This is an anonymous program. Please keep all the names and shares you have heard in this meeting to yourselves. Our experience teaches us that attending meetings, working steps, giving and receiving sponsorship are key elements to maintaining our own sobriety. Would anyone willing to sponsor or temporary sponsor, please raise your hand. Okay, please note the ID badges with the blue dot indicate those who are willing to sponsor a temporary sponsor. This is an anonymous program. Please keep the name, email address, and phone number of anyone you meet or learn about an essay to yourself. What we say here, let it stay here. Here. Okay. It says I've asked a volunteer to read a closing reading.
We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.
Okay, and after a moment of silent meditation for the sex addict still suffering inside and outside of his room, let's end with the Lord's Prayer. All right, whose Father?
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it.